The Detroit Tigers were hosting the New York Yankees on that first day, and one young African-American Tiger star who had grown up in Detroit tried to bring calm to the chaos at the intersection of 12th and Claremont, the epicenter of the riot, while still in uniform. Willie Horton tells his story of July 23rd, 1967.
Well, that's true. I remember we had a doubleheader with the Yankees, and matter of fact, I think I hit a home run the first game. And the second game, they called us off and said we all go home for our safety. But before that, you could see the smoke. I didn't know. It was just dark. And you could look to the right field area back down, and that was 12th Street back in that area. And then the guy that said we got to go to something broke out, a riot broke out, and they wanted us to go home for our sick. And they let us know when we resumed playing, which we did. We had to go to Baltimore that weekend. When I went in the clubhouse, I don't know, at the time, I didn't know why I did, but, you know, some things you don't have no control over. I didn't think about taking no shower. I didn't think about anything. All I said, well, I put my street belt, clothes in my duffel bag, and I got in my car, and I drove to the riot and tried to bring peace. You know, I look back over that, and I think about the people's concern of Willie getting hurt. And that gave me life that I got to get involved beyond the field. They said, go home for your, but I'm trying to bring peace, and I was trying to, in my word, I don't know the words, but the word I said to them, but I try to tell them, you know, it's a reason as a ride. It's no reason to take and burn down your stores, your benzene, and loot in your stores and et cetera, you're getting away from the purpose of it. But the riot, to me, is it's starting to flame like one about a year before that, and it just led up to that one particular night. And then as I look back, I think my involvement in the riot started back my involvement in experienced a segregation when I left home as a kid in Lakeland, Florida, when I got off the bus and I had to walk downtown Lakeland to Tiger Town. To me, I thought they were playing a joke on me. I thought you heard about when you leave home, you have rookie jokes and they play on it. I said, well, get my duffel bag and I walk. But when I got out there as a kid, I can't think of his name, that we played city ball together, and a white kid, and we've been knowing each other all this time, and they wouldn't let us room together. And I never forget it. I had to go to the third dorm, and that's where on the last floor they had all the Spanish and black guys on the third floor. And then you didn't pay that much attention to it, because when you're around kids, you just do things. You just think that the place is full. But then when me and my Mickey Stanley one day, we went to see the big league team play, and the guy Usher told me I had to go in right field and set and Stanley. And so we decided we walked back to the ballpark. We didn't stay. We went walked back to Tiger Town, and it's something I look at that now, how far it is, but when you're a kid, you just walk. But then the next year I was in the big league, I went to that same Usher and I asked him, now what position you want me to play? So, you know, I just took things like that, made me a better person when I got involved. And from that incident in Lakeland, and I got involved down there and helped pick at the Polk Theater and getting involved with other civil rights movement, that it helped me got ready for the future and the ride. But if I'm gonna never had that walk, I never met Bob Hope. I remember Ernie Harwell taking me home, and he lived in Clearwater, Florida, feeding me and explaining to me about the future, him and George Kale. I didn't understand what he was talking about. I just wanted to play baseball. And then I was very fortunate. I got introduced to Hank Greenberg and what he had to go through as a Jew. And so I'm saying I was blessed during the time that the good Lord put me in people's hands, got me ready for things that I'm doing and continue doing today beyond the field.
The great Willie Horton. As we have been all week and will continue to do so throughout the week, our WKAR news team taking a look back at the Detroit riots in the late 1960s. And our very own, as I mentioned at the top, our very own Scott Pohl got a chance to chat with Willie Horton, former Detroit Tigers great, who try to bring calm to the Detroit riots on July 23rd, 1967. We have Scott right here live in Studio West. Scott, you got the chance. This had to be one of the coolest things you've done in your career, right? I mean, to go to the home. You got a chance to go to the home. He still lives in Metro Detroit.
Yes.
You got a chance to go to the home of Willie Horton. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it's one of those projects where you have to stick to it to make it work. I first reached out to the Tigers front office. I'll bet it's 2 or 3 months ago. Can you help me reach Willie Horton?
Right.
And ultimately, they put me in touch with a man who does some scheduling for Mr. Horton. And through him, we communicated. My initial idea was to meet him at the corner of 12th and Claremont and talk there.
Wow.
He being Willie Horton, recently has had some health issues, though. And in fact, we put off the interview for a couple, 3 weeks, hoping that he was feeling up to seeing me at all, you know.
Right.
And so he invited me to his home. We went down to his basement, which I will tell you is full of the most glorious Tigers memorabilia you'll ever see.
Very cool stuff. You were telling me about that last week. Yeah.
Including the glove he wore in the 68 World Series, which is protected by plexiglass.
Oh, I'm sure, right?
So, a hero. I was a boy in the summer of 67. I turned 10. And so a lifelong hero for me to meet Willie Horton. I knew about the story of the day that the riot started, in that he had seen the smoke over the wall and didn't even take his uniform off, just drove to 12th and Claremont. I wanted to know initially, like, has the story been embellished by time, or did it really happen the way we've all heard it happen? And he confirmed all the facts, and you just heard him do that. What a brave, you could say, but a touching gesture for a native Detroiter to try to reach out to the people that were involved at the time, and how those people were concerned for his health and safety. Willie, you should go home.
Exactly.
You don't belong here right now.
Not at all, right?
they didn't want the star of the Tigers getting hurt down there.
Very true. And, you know, he played, Scott, with the Tigers from 63 to 1977. Here's Willie when signing with the Tigers and his childhood.
I want to ask you a few brief questions about your childhood. I know you were born in Virginia, moved to Detroit age 7 or 8, is that right?
Around 7 or 8 that we came up north. And I remember going back down south playing Little League ball because I didn't like to play T-ball. I wanted to play somebody throwing to me. So I went back down to Tennessee, stayed with my brother. But then permanent, I came back out about 9 or 10. Then we start playing baseball. But, yeah, come from the South. And, you know, like the South, you know, I talks about this a lot. I came from a little coal mining town, Iron Oak, Virginia. Population about 200, and we was a third of that. You know, we was 21 of us. But, you know, always been around white people. Only thing, we didn't go to school. But weekend, you have, it's just like a reunion every weekend at somebody's house. So I think I kind of got exposed more to a racial problem when I came north and when I left way from here going to play baseball.
Growing up in Detroit, I'm sure you were a Tigers fan.
Yeah, well, back there, you're a Tiger fan. You had to because your dad might – I remember in Virginia, everybody when you're black, you'd like the Dodgers. I remember they taking a trip. I was young, going to see Jackie Robinson in Cincinnati. But when we came here, Pop always said, you're hometown, you're the Tigers. And the primary reason I signed the Tigers because I didn't have no idea when I signed. I thought I would be signed with Boston, New York, because I worked out for the Yankees since I was about 13, 14. But we left the house, and we're going down to Trauma. He said, you remember that young man I let you go see play, Jake Wood, was our first African-American and black guy that came through the organization. He said, you don't sign here, maybe you can make a difference in the future with Boa.
Well, I can see why you wanted to sign with the Tigers. What did they tell you about why they wanted to sign you?
Well, I tell you, back then, you just kind of stayed out of it. You know, it's something that I love playing baseball. I mean, I started loving it. I didn't have no idea I wanted to be a ball player. I know I always could hit or something a long way since I was about 8 or 9 or maybe younger. But I'm just very fortunate that my mom and dad put me around a person like Judge Keefe. He was a lawyer at the time that came on League Advisors when I was 13, kind of helped me understand that the good Lord gave me ability that I can be a ball player because I didn't quite understand. You know, I play, you like all sports. We had pickup games and all that stuff. I would be strike out on the walls or whatever. And you stay kind of busy. And I think that's what I seen came from the riots. I seen people start doing older people doing what we did as young kids, as black and white kids. We stayed busy and did things together. And I think that from that, it's opened up doors, opportunity, people sit down communicating with each other.
Your first full year was 65, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, first full year was 65, and they brought me up in 63, and I never forget that. I was in Double A ball, and we had a manual. We joke a lot down in Double A ball and with us, and he said, he told me I'm going to big league. They need me in Detroit. I thought you had to go to Syracuse, back to Syracuse. And I went back to the ballpark next day, and he said, what is you doing? And I had to never forget, they had to get me in Washington, D.C. on a private plane that one of the affiliate owner in Knoxville had a private plane, got me there, and I got there late, but I went back to the ballpark. I didn't have a clue, because I just started playing, and I never forget, that's the first time that I experienced Charlie dressing. I just got there, it's about the seventh inning or sixth inning, and just walking on the bench. And he said, can you hit? I said, yes, sir. He said, go hit. And I never forget Hank Aguirre said, I'm trying to win the game and no rookie gonna hit for me. And Charlie, and that's where I have a high respect with Charlie. He said, hey, you know better than a rookie. So, and from that day on, I had a lot of respect for him. And I never forget, I pinch hit and actually I tied the game up.
Oh, how cool is that, right? All right, because we're short on time, and we're gonna make available pretty much the entire interview on WKAR.org. He comments on the 1968 World Series. He comments on Mike Ilitch. He comments on Detroit Tigers, Tiger Stadium being closed, all of that and so much more. But because we're short on time, I want to get to two specific bites here. Scott, you got a chance to ask Willie about his place in Detroit Tigers history. Before we play it, was he very upfront in answering that, or was he uncomfortable? Was he kind of, or was he just straight to the point?
I don't think I made the man uncomfortable even once in right. A half an hour of recording.
He was very open then.
Oh, absolutely. And I must say, as cordial and nice and sweet a man as you'll ever meet. And so I'm thankful that based on his recent health issues that he pulled through. I'm not sure if it's in a bite we'll play, but
we'll play that.
He had a
we'll
code blue. I mean, he was in
exactly
pretty rough shape a couple weeks ago.
Right. We'll get to that in just a moment. But, okay. But here's Willie on his place in Detroit Tigers history.
You're a hometown hero. Baseball teams have heroes, but you have a special place in the hearts of Tiger fans because you grew up in Detroit, and that must make you feel special too.
Well, it does. I look on this wall over there, and I see. I came a permanent day. It's like a holiday in the state of Michigan, October 18th. And at first, I thought of it just that year, and then it found out later it wasn't that year. It's a permanent day. I'm just fortunate to be in that class with Mother Parks, Rosa Parks. I think President Kennedy and somebody else held that honor. And I said, I get chilled every day. I come down the steps. I look at that, and I said, now that's being that honor. I mean, with a person like that, and I tell my children, my kids, we doing things to try to build that up about what I represent the people of this state, and not only this, other people around the world that I carry myself, but being the president of Rosa Parks, President Kennedy, and I never forget when they honor me with that day. I thought we went to Lansing about the 68 World Series or something. And they put the vote on the floor, and with all this on both sides, it came back 100% on both sides. So that tell you something, I'm doing something right. But just things like that makes me appreciate the past. You know, I couldn't have got to do that if once she didn't take her stand, or Dr. King walking in the 67 ride. And, you know, I'm more of a history type of guy, and I kept up, and I see what, a lot of people said things got worse, but I've seen things change. I've seen the people start communicating, and that's the important thing, start getting along. I started seeing where we started reaching out, going in other community, moving into other area of metropolitan area that, yes, you had some hard time, but as today, you still got a hard time. You can't change people how they think. But if you leave it up to the young people and get back what I say, hook up at church and school back together, I think we got a future for our young people.
Yes, we certainly still have a long way to go, but a ton of progress has been made over the years, and Willie has certainly experienced that kind of progress. Scott, you mentioned the code blue, right? His health. And that's one of the hurdles you had to overcome, and you even trying to schedule the interview, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Here's Willie on the state of his health right now.
One final question. Okay. Your fans will want to know how you're doing.
Well, you know, I've been up and down. I had a knee surgeon back in May, I think the 3rd of May, and that's doing real well. And a few weeks after that, I had a kind of, I guess, not say, I didn't realize I had pneumonia got in my body and part of my diaphragm, et cetera, and I guess infection started attacking my bloodstream. And I'm very fortunate to be here. Like I say, about 4 weeks ago, they had to do a blue coat on me, and I talked to my wife and kids about it now, and I'm very fortunate. When you have, like, we have 7 children, 6 living, and here the doctor who helps bring me back through this time is to have my family kind of help assist them and make you be thankful. And I told my wife, that's something that I asked again as yesterday, what was going on, and I'm still trying to get it. I'm like dreaming. But she explained to me, and she said she'd never forget that. Hey, a doctor said Miss Horton, and she said, I shook your husband's hand, we got him. And that kind of helped her with prayers and stuff with the children. But I seen all my kids, I thought I was dreaming. But I'm just very blessed, and whatever he got in plan for me in the future, I'm looking forward to, because my life belonged to him. I couldn't be here today if without him. My life is totally under control of the good Lord.
Detroit Tigers legend Willie Horton, thank you so much.
Thank you, and appreciate you stopping in.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.
And Scott, we thank you for taking the time out today to join us here in Studio West. Just some closing remarks there. I mean, you heard about his health, and he did have a really serious health scare, but based off that bite, he is getting better, right?
I think he is. He was getting around maybe a little slow. He was using a bit of a cane, you know, on his way down the stairs just to make sure he wouldn't fall. But he told me at one point, as I recall, I couldn't have done this last week in terms of going up and down the stairs to talk in his basement. He's a man of deep faith, as you've picked up there. It means a lot to him, and it's a lot of the work that he does to this day is using faith as a means of communicating with the younger generation and trying to spread goodwill and be a good person. And he's lived it his whole life.